Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is your funky reverend, John St. Germain, coming at you tonight from Knoxville, Tennessee, home of UT football. And, man, when UT football hits Knoxville, Tennessee, life isn't worth living. I tell you what, they just close down, roll up the sidewalks, and it's every man for himself. I don't know if you guys have football fever where you are, but, man, when it hits here, it hits hard. And God help you if the Vols lose. There's suicide mentality everywhere. But life's good. The Vols won, so everybody was happy. You ever see that episode of Star Trek, the Landru episode, where one night a month everybody goes insane and destroys the town? That's like football here in Knoxville. So, you know, there you go. I've been to one football game in my life. One in my life, and it was a Super Bowl. And that was because my wife at the time won Super Bowl tickets, and I would have rather had opera tickets, but I didn't know what was going on. There was 150,000 people in one place going, yay! I was like, what's going on here? I don't know, but it was cool to see that many people. But this is the Crystal Silence League Hour, for those of you who just kind of randomly tuned in and thought you were maybe listening to Hockey Talk or Worldwide Wrestling Federation talk or whatever. We are a spiritual program dedicated to the enlightenment of the human race. And tonight we're very happy to have Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LaFay from The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, which is our latest show on the LMC Radio Network that airs Friday night at 6 to 7 Pacific Standard Time, and you can make time adjustments all over the world, 8 to 9 Central Time and 9 to 10 Eastern Time. And we're going to talk about what they do, and we're going to have some various other topics tonight. So why don't you come back in just a few minutes, and we'll begin our program. Italian saying that it's into the chess game, the king and the pawn both go back in the same box. And isn't it true? The Crystal Silence League, for those of you who don't know, was formed around 1917 by Mr. Claude Alexander Conlon for the purpose of distributing positive affirmation and prayer for all those in need of the same. And when Mr. Conlon passed into the silence around 1917 or so, the Crystal Silence League passed with him until around 2009 or so, when adepts of the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church brought it back to life in cybernetic form on the internet. And you can find us on the web at www.crystalsilenceleague.org, where you can post a prayer on our website. And prayer is always free at the Crystal Silence League. All you have to do is post a prayer, and you'll find that many, many people, we get hundreds of prayers a week. And we have well over 1,000 members. I think we have a couple of thousand members, and they all will pray for you, and our pastors will pray for you. And we print out all of the pastors of the Crystal Silence League print out several prayers a day, usually 10, sometimes more, sometimes 20, sometimes 100. And we put these prayers on our crystal altars, and you can see pictures of our crystal altars, some of them on the slideshow and some of them on the website. And we pray for you three times a day, pastors of the Crystal Silence League. Also, it's been my custom since we began this radio show 72 episodes ago to read some of these prayers out loud, and we'll be doing that in just a few minutes. But our crystal tonight is bloodstone, and bloodstone is a remarkable stone, sometimes called heliotrope. And the legend says that the bloodstone was formed when the blood of Christ dropped onto green jasper at the foot of the cross. So it has a very magical property. It's also a magical stone. Back in the old days of sorcery, magicians and spell workers would carve a dragon onto it to make themselves magically invisible during spell work, and it is used for that purpose to this day. You don't have to carve a dragon on it, but bloodstone carried on the person of the sorcerer or the spellcaster will help make you magically invisible while you do your spell work. It also resonates to the heart chakra, being both green and pinkish red. So any kind of heart chakra work, it helps you with that as well. It provides courage. Having the reddish pink color, it provides courage and helps you stabilize your resolve in times of emergency. It's supposed to help with matters of circulation, such as blood pressure, diabetes, things like that, in healing. So bloodstone is a very, very nice crystal to have in your arsenal. Because of its dual nature, the green and pinkish red, it helps enhance creativity. It drives away negative emotional influences which may attack the heart chakra, and it helps with jealousy. It helps defend you against jealousy, and it also helps jealousy from arising in your spiritual being. So it's a nice stone. It's not one of the expensive stones either. So it's a nice stone to have. You can buy a handful of them for a few dollars of all different sizes. You can get the tumbles. The tumbles are pretty, but as I've often said, I prefer the rock as it comes from the ground. They fracture along their natural crystalline surface, and I just think that's they work better. They're not as pretty, but they are, but they seem to work better. I have before me many prayers. I usually print out about anywhere from 12 to 20 of these. And if you will, just join me in prayer for the following individuals. I never read them aloud by name. I just identify them by prayer ID. And, you know, if you will, and, you know, I don't read these in advance. I just take them as they come. So often I'm surprised and often startled by the nature of some of these prayers, and definitely quite often moved very deeply by them. So please join me in prayers for the following individuals. And the first is prayer ID number 54215, who prays, "I would like to ask for prayer as I have been looking for a new job for over 2 years. I've tried everything and I keep getting turned down and never receive interviews. Let's pray that all these obstacles be removed and that this person, this good woman, has finds the job that's meant for her and that her finances become open." You know, may this be so. May this be so. Amen. Now we have prayer ID number 54214, who asks, "I ask for help, good health, healing from illness, and peace in the minds and hearts of all members of my family. I ask for peace and love between me and my last significant other." There's a reconciliation there. "I ask that this coming October, I receive the justice that I've been fighting for. Amen. Prayer ID number 54213, who says, I'm thankful and gracious for the continuous love I share with my man. Please let today's little incident ease its way out and let my man cherish our relationship. May he trust me and see me as his soulmate. I truly need a miracle today. Please, I beg you to smooth today out and let my man and I grow strong. I'm truly thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer ID number 54212, who's praying for her daughter. And she says, her progress was good, but she had two bad grades, a 54 and a 64, which the teacher said she had a B, but tomorrow she will have her real progress report. At first, I was a little mad. Pray that the people in the office don't give her any problems. She will need a student password to check her grades. Well, I hope she gets her password so she can check her grades, and may her grades be sufficient and good. May she be a good student. Amen. Prayer ID number 54211, who prays, banish all curses, generational curses, the evil eye, witchcraft, black magic, and evil spirits. I ask prayer to banish all these hindering forces on my life. May it be so. May the power of the Crystal Silence League descend upon this good man and remove all these evil forces from his life and cleanse him. Amen. Prayer ID number 54210, who prays, pray to bind this person's bad bipolar behavior. I almost slipped there. So he no longer lashes out at me. Let him see through his chaos that I adore him and I care, but he's hurting me. God, let him see this for 5 minutes, but have the realization and correct his behavior. I also wish bind his mother's abusive and controlling ways. Let him see I'm a better alternative and I'm what he wants and chooses. Also, his extreme high kitty reactions. Thank you. Amen. I don't know what that means, but, you know, may this situation improve. Bipolar behavior is very destructive when it's untreated. Prayer ID number 54209. He prays for my love to return. And she prays, please make me and her man more than just friends again. Well, may that be so. May love blossom between them if it's meant to be. Prayer ID number 54208, who says, I am a single woman since 2000, a single mother of two girls. I want to know what happened in my life. Something happened, and I'd like to find a man for a relationship. My girls are happy with me, but after a couple of months with me, men don't want anything to do with me. What happened? Well, that's a good question. She needs to see a counselor, one of our air members, to find out what's blocking her. You know, may these obstacles be removed, though, between her and her true love. You know, may it be so. Amen. Let's find a good one here, another one. Prayer ID number 54206, who prays, my husband has an illicit relationship and is now telling me that he doesn't like me anymore. He is giving bad reasons and says he wants a divorce. I'm devastated and hurt. Please pray that God turns the situation upside down and his heart is changed forever and comes back in love and peace. Please pray for a miracle. I believe in him and trust him. Thank you very much. Amen. This says someone is praying for more sugar in her bowl. You know what that means? That means money. Please pray that today and tomorrow I have a lot more expensive calls and I'm able to get tips easily. Amen. Somebody's wanting more business. Prayer ID number 54200, who says, hi, I am RC from Malta. My job is to help people with spells and readings, and someone is making evil spells on me to kill me. I've had a car crash, but some angel saved my life, but I lost my people. I lost my apartment. Now my life is at stake, and I need someone to help me, to make prayers for me, to have money, to make a new life, and to have money for my mom and dad and my brothers. Please, I buy a ticket to win tomorrow's five numbers, the game, and the Super 5 lotteries in Malta. Please help me. Thanks to all. Well, winning a lottery is not the best way to make money, but we sure hope you get prosperity, sir. And we'll pray for you to get prosperity and for your business to be restored. And, you know, maybe you'll win that lottery. And we have prayer ID number 54199, who says, it's for her daughter. I'm asking God to keep her covered this morning, because the principal will be making phone calls to the parents saying their kids can't go there anymore. We don't stay in their district, but if we stayed in the area, things would be fine. So kids who don't stay in that area have it harder. Well, may this work out for you. I hope this works out for you and your daughter can stay in school. One last prayer, prayer ID number 54196. She says, about a month ago, I started having occasional heart palpitations due to a panic attack that caused extremely high blood pressure and tachycardia. I went to the ER and a cardiologist diagnosed me with a mini heart murmur. However, he still wants to do some tests on me. Please pray that my heart will heal from the damage and it's nothing serious. Thank you. Amen. Let's take a moment of silence for all those in need of prayer, comfort, and healing. And amen. Amen. May all prayers be answered. You know, may all sentient beings be at peace and be free from suffering. Well, I'm really excited tonight. We have a couple of guests tonight, and I'm really excited to talk about them because it's a topic I don't know that much about, really. And we've added this program just recently to our roster of LMC Network programs. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, and you can listen to the show Friday nights on the LMC Radio Network. And let's bring our guests out. We have Miss Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LaFay, the hostesses of that show. Are you in the studio?
Yes, I am.
Miss Elvira.
Yes,
okay,
I am.
Okay, great. Very good. Well, welcome to Crystal Silence League. Your voices are loud and clear. So why don't you tell us a little bit about our show? Who wants to go first? Miss Elvira?
You're going to send me into the pitch.
Well, yes, we're going to throw you. We're going to throw you to the wolves, Miss Elvira. Tell us about your show.
Well, at least better than the lions, okay? Because we've had that time frame already.
Well, yes.
Well,
how did you get the idea for the show? How did you get the idea for the show? What inspired you to do a show about witchcraft and witchery and things?
That's because we both are witches, so I guess that was our first clue on why we wanted to do it on that. But truthfully, I thought of the idea and talked it over, and actually she was thinking of it. It was kind of like, you know, great minds run in the same direction, and we both looked at each other and said, we really would like to do something, and we had to think about, you know, the title is always the hardest.
Sure it is.
There are things that we wanted to put in there, and they were, you know, no and yes and no, and so we kind of came up with the particular one after several meetings of brainstorming, and then I think from there it sort of grew on what we wanted to do. I know we both are practicing Wiccans and witchcraft and paganism and all of the things that you label us, because they're all part of the same whole, and we wanted to sort of put it out there and say, you know, this is the difference between these things, and then, by the way, this is the goddess, and this is what we, you know, come up with in terms of the use of tools and crystals and all the things that are part of what we do. And it's basically designed as a format as though we are talking to each other in our own living room, which actually we're talking in my dining room, so it kind of works.
That's exactly what we do.
Yeah.
So go for it,
Ms. Phoenix.
Phoenix, say your piece on this one.
Well, you know, I think Elvira and I both do a lot of teaching on these topics in different formats, and so this was a way to sort of channel that into one project that we could do together. And I've had, just in the last few days, I've had a few people randomly find the podcast and didn't know that I was doing it and have been listening, and it's, they, you know, ask me how I feel about it, and it's, I feel like I'm having fun talking to my friend about a subject I love. How much better could it get? So it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Radio is fun. It's fun to have a show. Radio is fun. I'll be really tired,
yeah,
you know, go, oh my God, oh my God, and then just as soon as I start the show, I'm like, yay, you know, I'm on the air again. It's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that to be true? It's really fun. You don't know
do
if anyone's listening.
I find it to be true.
You don't know if anyone's listening, but...
Oh, yeah, and it's a lot
you're talking
of,
into
it's
a microphone,
a
and you sort of hope...
You know?
Yeah, you sort
we
of hope
do,
someone's out there.
Prep.
Sometimes there's people in chat, and you go, well, at least there's, you know, three or four people in chat, but you don't know if anyone else is listening, but... you sort of hope so. You sort of hope so. But, so you talk about Wicca and paganism and neo-paganism. Do you find there's a lot of misconceptions about, like media perpetuated misconceptions, maybe, that you try to dispel?
Yeah,
I think so. I think also there's so many flavors of paganism, so many ways to practice witchcraft, and so not only is there's some false information out there, but it can also be confusing if you're new and you're feeling the call of the goddess, or you're feeling the call of the earth, or you want to practice magic. We are blessed, especially, you know, Elvira and I both live in Northern California. We have so many opportunities. And so I think, you know, giving people the information on specifics and where they can find things and how they can go about practicing narrows down what could be an overwhelming amount of information.
Well, sure, yeah. Now, Ms. Phoenix, you wrote a book for Missionary Independent Spiritual Church. You wrote a book on setting up altars. Yeah.
That's
Ms.
Elvira,
you haven't you haven't written a book. You haven't written a book yet.
I haven't written
a
book. What happened was is when I started to put the book together, it was going to be on archangels, and I did a presentation at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, but my computer crashed and ate literally the entire part of what it was before I actually could get it in a format. And I was so devastated that I lost momentum.
Yeah.
And I
well,
think
you shouldn't
that
try to write
something...
a book during Mercury retrograde. That's what happens.
Well, unfortunately, I have no idea if it was Mercury retrograde, but my computer decided it was going to be that way. So,
oh, I'm
but
sorry to
all
hear
in
that.
All, no, I will probably be pushed an inch into the process again. I sense that that's the next big hurdle.
Well, if Cat Ironwood has any say in it, you will.
I'm sure.
She'll get a book out of you. But it's an excellent book, Miss Phoenix. That altar book is an excellent book.
Thank you. Your book's
excellent
pretty great,
book.
Too. It's actually the most popular book of all of the books from Lucky Mojo and Missionary Independent Spiritual Church. Yours is the most popular at my shop, Milk and Honey.
Is it really? Oh, my gosh.
It is. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's saying something because, you know, Porterfield's books are really good. The ones on gambling, I'd figure his books were selling hand over fist. You know, people to get an advantage on gambling. Because far and away, that's what people are calling me about. You know, hey, how can I go to the casino and break it? You know, that's what most people call about. I say, get Porterfield's book, man. He's got all kinds of tricks for gambling. So you guys do spell work for your clients. What do you find that is the most, this sounds like newbie questions, I know, but when people call you for spell work, are there things you won't do?
Yes.
Or things that you find that you specialize in? Things that you specialize in? Do you have specialties? Things that you love to do and things that you're reluctant to do, I guess?
Go for it, Phoenix. I'll follow on this one.
Okay. I really love to do uncrossing work, cleansing, clearing, getting rid of the negative and turning things around, turning luck around. I love that kind of work. What I get the most of, actually, is love work. That's probably number one client is looking for love or mending an existing relationship. So I do a lot of that work. I don't do cursing work. I don't do breakup work. But I will give advice on how to do that for the client if they would like to do that themselves. What about you?
Breakup work is hard, yeah.
Yeah. It is. And, well, I think that for me, I mean, come on, my last name is Love. I think that becomes sort of my catch-all. So I get a lot of that. I really do love doing it, but I also love working with people to find their power in whatever situation is going on. And sometimes, of course, they want, you know, the ultimate is break up this, get that, go here, go there. And I won't do breakup work. I will sometimes coach a little bit depending on where they're going. Like if someone really wants to force their will upon somebody else's, I kind of draw the line on real heavy-duty stuff because, truthfully, I look at the processes going, slavery is what we fought to keep out and what we fought to not have, and that is considered, you know, slavery. And to me, that kind of just goes against my whole belief system. And I was reading there, you know, something in The Witch's Read, you know, it's harm none. You know, and that is one of the things. But harming none kind of has a variable in there, I guess, is how we have to do it to each of our own portions, at least personally. Okay.
So, yeah. And that's assuming you go by the read, which I don't.
We know Rue Work has kind of a, I don't know, a sterner philosophy. You know, there's an evildoer. Root Work seems to have no problem with smacking them down, you know, calling down God's judgment on them, hexing and, you know, doing work like Doom, D-U-M-E, if it's justified. If it's just, you know, if somebody is an evildoer, to call down a punishment. Do you find there's anything like that in your type of work? You know, if somebody is really bad, to call down there's no other way to put it, a hex work, a doom or a destruction work or something like that, to say, I cast judgment upon you to be destroyed, you know, to be stopped. Root work has a lot of things like that. Do you find there's an acceptable, a loophole in the do no harm, you know,
there's binding magic, right? So there's, if there is someone who is creating chaos, doing evil, just generally causing conflict or serious harm, binding magic is a way of stopping them, you know, literally tying them up, preventing them from doing that, preventing them from causing harm on other people, So it's sort of a softer, it's not hexing, mm-hmm. although, you know, depending on who you ask and what practitioner, some people do consider it hexing. And you know, there are folks for sure within paganism and the umbrella that is witchcraft that do hexing work for exactly what you're describing. Someone
it's
who's done wrong.
It's magical judo. It's magical
That's
judo.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 Well, this seemed like
there is a sense here of we do have pretty intense goddesses that we call on for things. And I will give one right now that I work with specifically is I call upon the Morrigans to take care of perpetrators of harm and brutality on animals that you will find different articles and things that will come up situations that are that way. So I work with that energy in that manner because it's an innocent. And
mm-hmm.
the same thing
mm-hmm.
with children. It's an innocent.
Yeah.
And
that's what I was specifically thinking of. You have a, you know, say you have a drunken husband, father who's beating the wife and kids. You know, this is a situation that occurs. And, you know, in root work, you have, you know, hex work of a nature that turns their own evil actions against them so that they, the harm they inflict on others is multiplied and thrown back on them so that, you know, their own actions, you know, they dig at the pit and fall up into the ditch which they have made.
Right.
And, you know, so as they harm others, so they harmed. And, you know, which gives a loophole there, you know, they have a chance of redemption. If they stop their evil, then nothing, no harm befalls them. But as long as they're doing evil, then, you know, they are harmed by their own actions, which, again, I guess is another form of spiritual jujitsu. And I always wondered if the, you know, harm no others, you know, like I said, is there a loophole in that where if somebody is really bad, you know, just a, mm-hmm. you know, a psychopath, for instance, is there a, I don't know why we got off on this topic, but you know, it's a serious thing. You know, somebody calls you up and says, you know, I'm in this situation. I'm really in a bad situation. You know, what can you do for me? You know, it just wrenches at your heart. And, you know, you just want to say, oh, my God, I want to just strike this guy with lightning.
Well,
of course, it happens to guys.
In the hands with the shooting fire, personally.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, guys get in the same situation, too. You know, they get in the hands of an evil woman who destroys them by other means. So, you know, it works both ways. You just wonder, you know, sometimes you wrestle with your conscience. You say, well, just how far do you go with this? And, you know, because with magic, you can, you know, there are some very strong spells and spell work and forces that you can conjure with. And then you have to live with the consequences. And mm-hmm. I see on the internet, young people messing with Intranquil Spirits and St. Martha the
mm-hmm.
Dominator. And I said, do you guys
mm-hmm.
even know what you're talking? You know what you're doing?
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
it's like
no.
oh, this evil bitch stole my boyfriend. I'm going to do an Intranquil Spirit and St. Martha on it. I'm like, do you even know what you're talking about? Because somebody
mm-hmm.
stole your boyfriend? do you
well,
even know what
mm-hmm.
you're doing? I'm going to get a demon after this girl because I hate her. Yeah. Do you even know what you're talking about here?
sometimes... John, it really comes to the fact that you do something like that, you get slapped around, and then you go, I don't think so. So there's a point of learning, a learning curve that I think
yeah.
every one of us has done, and I know I, as one of the many out there, you know, I felt
mm-hmm.
certain things, and I, you know, that's why I chose not to do it, because my slapping around brought some sense into what I was doing and where, you know, where I was going, so I said, no. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, people call me and they say, you know, I got an Intranquil Spirit after this person and now it won't go away. And I was like, well, okay. Well, here's what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it hung around. You know, just
mm-hmm.
moved in with
mm-hmm.
them and hung around. And now they've
yeah.
got this this hell being that just becomes their new BFF. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's what you get. That's what you get.
Yeah.
You mess with these
right.
things.
That's right.
So, so let's let's talk about what's the difference between, because I admit I don't know, what's the difference between paganism and neo-paganism?
Oh, this is fun. We addressed this on our first show. Go for it.
Well, so this is a question that could be debated for probably days and weeks and at least hours. You know, neo-paganism is the rebirth of the earth-based spiritualities that likely existed before the monotheist religions took over. We don't know how the pagan people would have practiced. And really the word pagan just meant someone who lived outside of the city, or, you know, someone who was kind of a country bumpkin, right? It didn't have the meaning that it has now. But those folks would have been, you know, worshiping the river spirit and the forest spirit. And those energies became gods and were given names and so on and so forth. And we have patches of information from the cultures that took over and won, you know, so we have these little bits of information. The Greeks and the Romans and the Egyptians give us a lot, but there's a lot that's lost. And so neo-paganism is sort of the reinvention, the reawakening, the modern spin on what we believe these ancient cultures would have been doing and how they would have been worshiping.
And this would be pre-Zoroastrians even?
Yeah.
Because Zoroaster was the first monotheistic religion.
Right. Well, there is some monotheism going on in Egypt. You know, it's not like this is monotheism and polytheism. They're not new concepts. It's just which culture do you follow?
Yeah. Well, the archetypal energies and deities were just given different names. They're always there. They're just given different names. You know, you find, I don't know if you followed my show, but we trace the flood myth through different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Noah appears in all of them under different names. The ark builder who gathered the animals appears in every one of them under a different name. And in some of the myths, he was given the gift of immortality. After he did this, in some myths, he lived forever, and various people like Gilgamesh sought him out to find out how to get the gift of immortality. And it was Noah, but, you know, he's given different names. And he said, you don't want to live forever. He said, it's a great burden, but he told Gilgamesh how to do it. He told Gilgamesh to stay awake for 6 nights, and he would tell him, and Gilgamesh fell asleep, and he said, you can't even deal with 6 nights, 6 days and nights. How are you going to deal with forever? And it was pretty funny. But these various spiritual concepts, these deities existed forever, and you know, people just gave them whatever name the culture came up with, I guess. I first started hearing about neo-paganism, I guess, about the millennium, you know, 2000. That's when I first started hearing about it. And when I think it was, as you say, it was a revival. It was an attempt to, go against what I think of as the Llewellynization of paganism. And I don't know how you feel about Llewellyn, but you know, they published my palmistry books, and I don't know how you feel about them, but I know they published a lot of Wiccan stuff, and it varied in quality. That's all I can say about it. It varied in quality. And I know that my editor told me, he said, our target audience is 14-year-old girls, so, you know, write accordingly.
Sure.
And I said, I can't write for that audience. You know, I'm a 35-year-old man. I can't write for that audience. So I wrote
it's
what
dumbing
I felt
down
I
of
could
it,
do.
Really.
Yeah, yeah. And it was, you know, when I read some of the books that were targeted for the Wiccan audience, it was there was a lot of fantasy integrated into it. And I said this is not doing the subject justice. It was play acting. You know, it was at the time Buffy the Vampire Slayer was out, and it was
you're speaking my language.
You know, it was, oh yeah, I love Buffy. You know, I'm mourned when it went off the air. That was the only show I watched on television. The only two things I watched on television, I watched Opera DVDs and I watched Buffy. And when Buffy went off, I turned the TV off. And I never watched it again. I didn't start watching television again until I think Supernatural. I watched Supernatural. You know? But I don't watch anything. Yeah,
but
and
I
watched Frasier.
If you look at Buffy, you look at Charmed, you look at all of those cheesy books from the 90s, witchcraft had a bit of a revival then. And yeah, maybe it was a watering down and a dumbing down, but it was a gateway drug, you know?
It was.
And I think
it was a gateway.
Yeah. And I think if we look at, there's recently in the last 6 years or so, there's been a resurgence in heathenry and Norse, people who are practicing Norse magic and trying to recreate what would have been happening for the Nordic people. And I, no joke, I attribute that to the comic book Thor being made into a movie because all of a sudden people were looking this stuff up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care how people get involved. If you feel a calling and all of a sudden you're showing up at one of the rituals we plan out here in Sebastopol, and it's because you watch Thor and all of a sudden you want to be a witch, great. What's your gateway?
As long
drug,
as you find a good teacher, as long as you find a good teacher, David Carradine and Kung Fu was a gateway to a lot of people into Buddhism. And, Bruce Lee and things like that, they led a lot of people into Asian culture and Buddhism and Asian philosophy.
Right.
As long as you find a good teacher, you don't learn it from specious sources, I guess, which you find a lot of times. If you find a lot of gurus who are more marketing guru than spiritual guru, and that can be the problem, and that's what I caution people. I say, if you get a teacher, get a good teacher. Because it's harder to unlearn something than it is to learn it correctly the first time.
But isn't that the fool? When you walk the path, you both find the good and the foolish.
You sure do.
Sometimes part of learning how is when you go to one thing and then you walk down the way and you find something else and you go, oh my God, I should have had a V8. That was it.
We know there are music instructors that say, I can teach you to play the piano without learning to read music. And I'm thinking, why? Why would you want to do that? And, the lazy path is never a good path. It never is. And, I can teach you to be a root worker in 3 weeks. You don't have to learn all that stuff. I can teach you to be a root worker. I can teach you to become an astral traveler in 3 days. I teach you to meditate and go out of your body in 3 days. Why would you want to do that? I don't know, this entitlement thing, I guess. I want that information now. I deserve it. I want it now.
Well, that's
because we have a system
that is the internet. We have gotten into a faster pace. I mean, do you know how many times, I'm sure Phoenix can attest to what she may say, but I keep telling my clients, this is not Harry Potter, which is the newest version of the dynamic.
Yeah, you ever hear that? So how fast is this going to work? Is this going to take?
Yeah. Right.
I said, how soon can I get results? I said, if you read Harry Hyatt and these other rework books, people would wait a year or more before they expected results in the old days. And I tell them that. I say, they used to wait a year or more for this. And I said, you're going to have to wait a few weeks before this.
Right.
The rule of three days for a sign, 3 weeks for movement, and 3 months for completion. And they go, 3 months? And I say, no, it took you years to get into this mess. It took you years to get in this mess. It's not, I can't say Wingardia Leviosa and get you out of this. But there are people that say they can, and they'll take $6,000 of your money and say your man will be back tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then when you try to call him back, that burner phone doesn't work anymore.
That's
so
right.
Me and Candela were talking about Walmart conjure, people that'll do spell work for $25 and they do a reading for $10 and spell work for $25 and you call it Walmart conjure, which means as soon as you get home, it breaks.
It's all part. That's right.
Yeah, it falls apart. Yeah, the conjure falls apart as soon as you get it home. Okay. So you got to be a savvy shopper when you're looking for teachers, when you're looking for spell workers, you got to be a savvy shopper. So tell me when you guys are in air, both of you are in air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your air members. So do you guys do spell? You do root work, both of you?
Yes.
Definitely.
You do spell work? Now, what are your thoughts on mixing traditions? Because that's controversial. Do you mix traditions?
It's very controversial.
It's controversial.
I actually really go with my clients. So if I'm working with a client that is, Christian, and then that's the core of their belief, then I'm a strict root worker and follow the Bible and do what is needed to fit into the needs of my client. If I'm working with a pagan client who is dedicated to the Morgan, then I change the way I approach the work. So I guess it is a mixing a little bit, but it's more.
Well, you change modality. You change modality.
Yeah.
You change modality,
yeah.
But you don't do root work and call upon the goddess for root work, though, right? Instead of God, yeah, okay. Yeah.
No, what I find is that it's easier to talk to people. Well, the people that come most of the time to the church when I'm working there, or the people that come from the air, tend to have a base in the more structured religious traditions. Not all of them, but there's a fair percentage. Mm-hmm. So I start with that, and then I talk to them, and sooner or later I find out that maybe they're not that, but I always start with what I hear, just like Phoenix has said, what we start with. Now, when I work with people that are coming into Phoenix's store, because I do readings there too, they are more into the goddess and into spiritual nature, traditions of that nature. So I will shift gears in terms of that. But I also realize, just like R.J. Stewart, I work with the angelic, the upper realm, and I work with the what would be the underworld, but that is the deity, the pantheistic deity. So I find that, to me, neo-pagan, I guess, is what you would probably throw an adjective or a description on. Because I work
Correct.
With the dynamic of all, because we are part of the all. It's just how we see it.
That's correct. We may have a question here. It looks like we have a caller who may have a question. Let me put them online and see if we have a question here.
Okay.
Caller, do you have a question?
Hi, it's Dean. I'm calling from Orlando, Florida. Thank you for taking the call.
Hi, Dean. What do you have to say?
I'm listening to the show at work here. I kind of have a lot of downtime, so I'm able to listen to a lot of programs. It's absolutely fascinating. I'm a little jealous you got these two wonderful women on the program tonight. And it says they're professional witches.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
I think, and I'm listening and I'm getting educated, but I got to ask you, how are you not banging these two hoes? I mean, you know, are you fucking these two broads?
You're gone. Well, my goodness, we attract. Oh my goodness! My goodness, we seem to have attracted a negative trickster spirit there, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
It's Mercury retrograde.
Da 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 da.
Well, we got a real good laugh. Come on.
We sure did. We sure did. My
but
goodness,
anyway.
do you ever get calls like that from customers? That is never.
From
you know,
customers?
I get people sometimes who are kind of religious fanatics, and they say, "Well, do you think that what you're doing is Satan inspired or demonically inspired?" And I'll talk to them for a little while. I say, "Well, no, it really isn't. I fight demons. In fact, well, how do you know it's not really?" And I say, this is a conversation you should have with your priest or your preacher or something
right.
like that. You know, I am an ordained minister, but I don't think this is a conversation that's productive. And hang up on them. Do you get calls like that from folks who are?
Well, we haven't started taking calls.
Is obviously an emotionally disturbed person. You know, he's an emotionally disturbed person, obviously, to want to do something like this. Do you get emotionally disturbed people that call you up and want to tell you that you're going to hell?
No, I have a pretty tight screening process. I don't just take calls. So, I weed out some of that really easily. And plus, you know, again, as I said before, we live in Northern California. It's...
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I just lost Phoenix.
Lost
the connection. Yeah,
oh,
thanks, Mercury retrograde. But
Well,
Blog Talk Radio is just a mess, but hopefully she'll call back. Well, you know, this profession attracts mostly sincere seekers, but occasionally you'll get people who want to make a case. You know, I had a church one time decide that they were going to make a point. This is back in the 90s, a long time ago. They're going to make a point about me. And so they were harassing me and my family.
Okay.
And here we go. Phoenix, do we have you back?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, no, we lost you. It's Mercury retrograde.
Yeah.
So we had a church back in the early 90s that were going to make a point out of me. They were harassing me and my family and writing letters, threatening letters, and talking to the media about me. And I decided I wanted an end to it. So they didn't know who they were up against. So I threw a brick through my own window with the church's stationery on it that said, you go to hell, you know. And I called the media and I said, look at what they're doing to me. And understand, they had already contacted the media. I said, look, they're throwing bricks through my window. Of course, they denied it. Well, then I was driving down the street one day and I saw a poor little cat that had been hit by a car, and an evil light went off in my head. So I took that cat and put a note around its neck that said, you're next, with their church stationery, and put it in my mailbox. And I called the media. I called the news station. I said, you got to come here. You got to come here. I was crying. I said, look what they did to my cat. They killed my cat, my poor little cat. He's my best friend. And they put it in my mailbox. I said, these people are crazy. And they put it on the news.
Oh, wow.
I said, look, this church, they're killing my animals and my cat, my poor little cat. And they put it on the news. And after that, you know, the church couldn't do anything. They couldn't say a word. I said, they don't know who they're dealing with. You know, they thought I was going to be, helpless in the face of their persecution. And they didn't know that I was capable of fighting back with great cleverness, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they were messing with my family, and I just don't, you know, I fight fire with fire, and that was into that. You know, they probably had a meeting of the elders, and because people were dropping out of their church after that. You know, people were saying, okay, we're not going to be part of this church anymore. You know, people were writing letters to the editor. No matter what this man does, they don't have any right to vandalize his house and kill his cat and all of this. They only think they're emotionally disturbed. They're dealing with someone more emotionally disturbed than they are when they're dealing with me. But see, this is the South. This is two notches into the Bible Belt. You know, you'll run into people, if they could get away with it, they would burn people at the stake here.
Well,
they really would.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And, so, you know, a story that can be of equivalence is when I did have a store. I had one 30 years ago, a metaphysical store. And, you know, I was there with my infant daughter, and I was taking care of, you know, the business. And some people came in and they wanted to know if they could, you know, started talking to me about Bible and religious things. And, of course, I was obviously very, you know, witchcraft, pagan. And then they wanted to, you know, they said, can we pray for you? And I looked at them and I said, sure. And they started to go down in my store to get on their knees. I said, I have no problem. Please do it outside. And they went outside and did, and then went on their way. So, you know, it's different.
Sometimes they're nice.
Handle it.
They're nice. They're not. I was raised in the Baptist church, and my church had no problem with my granny and my aunt. They cut the cards, and they did some spell work, and they were psychics, and, you know, they had no problem with them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're very nice, but you'll find people who are looking for a fight. They're just looking for a fight, and, you know, they don't care who you are. They fight among themselves, and
of course.
they they're looking for, it's like you see now, you see it on the internet. People, they just look for a fight. You post something innocent and they'll get on your, they'll get on your Facebook and, try to start an argument. What did you mean by that? You know, it's like, okay, they just look for, they look for a fight. And, you know, Facebook, I think Facebook is responsible for the breakup of more marriages than I can't even think of a metaphor, but. Back
in
the old days,
I think that's scientifically proven, actually.
I think it probably is. The Facebook and the GPS, you know, you look on the GPS.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, where were you? What does this mean?
Yeah.
Why were you over
that's
at this
right.
person's house? Yeah, so,
right.
You can't get away with anything now. Texting, the whole electronic media thing, you know, texting and, your moves are tracked now. I know every time I talk to a client, I looked at his text and I looked at his Facebook and, that was the end of that. So back in the old days, they used to have to hire a private detective. Now all they got to do is look at your electronic media and, you're gone.
Or you go sit in front of their house and stalk them that way. That's the old way.
That was the old way. You don't have to now. You just look at their PDA.
Oh, the good old days.
The good old days when you used to have to leave the house to stalk somebody. Now you just look at
hat and trench coat and sunglasses.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to go out and actually make an effort. Now you just look into their cell phone, Facebook record.
Right.
I'll look at that. That's what you do. And this has gotten to the point where they say, I can't text him because she's looking at it, and I can't email him because she's looking at it. I say, have you thought about writing a letter? And they go,
go back to the old ways.
I said, the old days, they used to pass letters by chambermaid. Have you thought about just writing them a letter and going by work and dropping it off and giving it to a friend and having that? And I said, because a letter can be destroyed and burned.
Okay.
I said, you can never get rid of an email or text, even if you delete it. I said, but a letter can be destroyed. And I said, get him a letter. I said, she can't stop a letter. She can't block a letter. And I had many clients do that. I had a client send an ex-boyfriend a cake for his birthday and put a letter in it. And he was really happy and contacted her via a burner phone. It was like James Bond or something. And, they finally got back together. It started with a letter.
I would like to mention something. I know that, I don't know quite where we are in our time schedule, but we have a fair we do here called the Santa Rosa Mystic Fair, October 15th and 16th, and it'll be where we, both Miss Phoenix and I, will be there separately for both her store and our workings, and it has a lot of vendors. Lucky Mojo will be there as one of the vendors, and a lot of different, people with aura readings and things like that, and it's really popular. It's begun to really take off, and I'm really excited about it. It'll be at
the Santa Rosa Mystic Fair.
So I kind of wanted to share that. I know it's right around the corner. I really didn't think about it until recently, and then I was like, oh my goodness, we're almost in October, and here we go.
It's right around the corner. Yeah, October 15th, you said?
15th and 16th from 10
October 15th
in the morning
and 16th.
To 5 in the afternoon.
Yeah, you're looking at about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. About 6 weeks.
I kind of wanted to plug that, share it, because obviously not only will we be there, but so many other different interesting people, crystal people that will be having crystals and stones and jewelry and, all kinds of stuff. So I did kind of feel that was something we should throw out there for those people that might be here or visiting us in the very near future.
Oh, that should be just right. So we have about a minute. Tell us how to find you. How do people find you on the internet and et cetera, if they want to book a reading with you or they want to contact you personally?
Well,
through AIR, right? Through the AIR,
through AIR.
Association and Milk and Honey Sebastopol.com or PhoenixLafay.com. My email is wonderful. I love email. Please email me.
And mine is through the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church .org website, as well as AIR. and then Elvira Love. Actually, it's elvira.com is what my website is. So they can
and that's
find
Elvira, Elvira with a Y.
Yes, it is. It is Elvira with a Y.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for being on the show. And we
thanks
have
for
a second
having
left.
Us.
So,
thank you.
And we hope to have you back again someday.
Oh, definitely. We have
absolutely.
So much more we sort of not even got to, you know, crystals that we might use in our work and kinds of spell work and things like that we could talk about.
Oh, I know. Like I said, it's not a matter of not having enough, not having too much time. It's not having enough time on a one-hour show.
That's right.
Yeah, there's always less time, not enough time. I've had guests and they say, well, you know, are we going to have enough time? You know, we're going to have enough talk. I say, well, we always run out of time before we run out of things to talk about.
That's right.
The problem with a one-hour show. But we'll have you back again. And we'll talk about things that, you know, you want to talk about, and we'll promote your show some more.
Great. Thank you.
Congratulations on your show. It seems to be going really well.
It is,
yeah,
and we're having
so
a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, when you start getting up there to about 50 or 60 shows, you're thinking, what are we going to talk about now? That's what my son told me. He said, are you going to be able to maintain a show? And I said, man, are you kidding? I said, one hour of talking a week.
Yeah,
I said,
I
can find, I can get on the internet and say, oh, there's something I'll talk about for an hour. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll find something. I'll read a book and say, you know, I want to talk about the Theseus's ship, which is a paradox or a philosophical thing. The idea of Theseus's ship was that, in the Greek myth, Theseus, they rebuilt a ship one plank at a time until the whole ship was rebuilt. So is it the same ship or a different ship? And that applies to the human being because we replace every part of our body.
That's right.
So are we the same? Are we the same person or a different person? You know, and if we are the same person, why? And if we're a different person, why and how? So, you know, that's – and there's a lot of responses to the Theseus ship thing. You know, why is it the same? Why is it different? And if you go into fourth dimensional, you know, in terms of time, then it is the same because of a linear cross-section of the ship. And it's just very interesting. I'm going to talk about that next episode. So it's always something, always something to talk about.
Nice.
Yeah, always something. Always something to talk about because that gets into questions of self. You know, what is self? You know, what is identity? What is self? And that's what I'm all about. You know, what is self? So, you know, there's always something to talk about. Always something. You never run out of something to talk about for an hour.
That's
whether
true.
People want to hear it or not, whether people want to listen to it or not, that's not my problem. All I got to do is to fill
that's
an hour.
That's a whole separate thing. Yeah.
but it can always be tied in.
Yeah.
But gosh, ladies, we're out of time. So you know, thanks for showing up.
Well,
thanks for showing up.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
And you know, I hope it helps your show, and hope it helps my show. And you know,
definitely.
Yeah.
As long as we don't have Mercury retrograde crank calls, we're fine.
Oh my God, that guy. I was like, hey, we got a caller. Great. And it was a crank call. Dear God.
I know.
Dear God.
Well, we can now just tick that off of our bucket list.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, but, you know, it was, in a way, it was kind of cool, though, wasn't it, in a way?
Yeah.
It was kind of cool in a way because I've never had a caller like that ever. So, in a way, it was kind of cool.
Well, I'm glad we could help you out.
Yeah. Because I didn't know how I would deal with something like that if I've ever got one. So, okay, you're out of here.
All right.
Too bad I didn't have – too bad. And I always thought I would have the Looney Tunes theme in my list to queue up in case I ever got a crank call, and I didn't do it. So I'm sorry I didn't.
That we now all experienced that, and it was like, are you for real? You're actually saying that? It was – my brain kind of went, what?
Yeah, but we just booted him out. You know, and said, bye. You know,
yeah,
go away.
Yeah,
just go away. So, and
all right.
You know, that poor guy. You know, that's what he thought. He thought that was funny. You know, that poor guy.
Yeah.
You know, good luck next time, man. Better luck next time. All right.
Yeah.
Well.
All right.
See you guys out there.
All right, my dear.
All
right. Take care.
Have a beautiful
night.
Bye bye.
You too.
Bye.
Bye bye.